Yeah. Cross up ready on the building. Got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game mode. Oh, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like here we go.
Here we go.
People changing up their game, oh Lord, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is.
It's called
now.
Talk with this radio, conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig, two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engage listeners on topic, discussions, the big questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors, ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room, it's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican, let's believe big things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show, worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game mode. Oh, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game mode. Oh, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
Got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the very, very, very first Crosstalk Radio Podcast. This is your man, Steph Swig. I got my man, Big Pudge, co-hosting with me.
What's up?
We got a great show lined up for you today, man. We got a great, some great topics. We got a lot of good stuff. You're going to find out about me. You're going to find out about you. So we thought, you know, it'd be good for y'all to know who we are, who these guys you're going to be listening to all the time on this podcast. So he's going to interview me. I'm going to interview him, and we're going to go from there.
Yeah. From there. So, alright, Swig, let me start off with you, man. So, tell me about the sanctuary.
What do you want to know?
What is a sanctuary?
Sanctuary is a Christian nightclub. God gave me the vision a while back. When I say a while back, like 13 years ago, to do a Christian nightclub, to create a place where people can come and go to have a club experience, but not go to church. So, the idea of the sanctuary is to meet people where they are. Everybody's not going to church, so we do club events. It gives us something familiar, but we mix it with our own flavor and people get saved. That's how we do it. But okay. The goal of the sanctuary from the beginning has been to have a building competitive with the secular nightclubs in Atlanta and give Christians also an alternative to secular nightlife in Atlanta.
Okay.
As well.
So pretty much God gave you a vision to have something that looked like the world, but is every bit of representation to him.
But you say that, but you're going to give me trouble. I'm already on the defensive side, something that looked like the world. We quit to preach, be in the world, not of it. So,
right.
Yeah, so actually, that's exactly how I thought. I thought it was a worldly thing. I thought the devil was talking to me. So I'm thinking Christian and nightclub don't go together. Mm-hmm. And so I fought with God with that for a minute. I was like, well, God, if this is really you, then I'm going to need a Christian DJ. And not just a Christian DJ, but a Christian DJ that spins Christian hip-hop. And at the time, I didn't know anything about holy hip-hop at all. And
wow.
And so the funny thing is, the next day I looked in the paper, on the front page, and the headline was like, Christian DJ spins Christian hip-hop for the youth. Wow. So I contacted the newspaper, and they put me in touch with the guy, and he introduced me to a lot of people back in the day, like Platinum Souls Double. He introduced me to those dudes, and okay. It's a rap. And it's just like one thing after another. You know, God gave me the way to spell it, T-H-E-S-A-I-N-T-U-A-R-Y. And we had just started going to a church, and I didn't know anybody, so the best thing I think to do was invite people over for dinner. So I invited this couple over for dinner, and it was husband and wife, and it was the husband was upset because the wife was saved, and she was still going to the club. Like, she shouldn't be doing that. And what she said was, if there was a Christian nightclub, then I would go to that. So, of course, like, yo, really? That's what this guy just gave me that vision. So turns out she does, like, logos and stuff like that for cars and all kinds of cool stuff. So she helped me come up with my logo. Actually, she did my logo. So when you see the T with the three pins for the nails and nails, Jesus to the cross, that was all her. That's Becky Russell from Show Off. Shout out to Becky.
Okay.
And then it kind of snowballed from there. And we had, lo and behold, we had our first event, second event. Now I don't know how many events we've had to this date.
Wow. So when's the last time, well, you've done one?
Wow. Okay. To answer your question properly, I got to explain a little bit more about the sanctuary.
Okay.
Of course, the goal of the sanctuary is to be a nightclub. And that's what we operate as. But we also have an evangelistic side to us as well. So a lot of stuff we do is not always just club-related stuff. That's our foundation. That's what we are as a whole. But we have an evangelism tendency. So we've done stuff like car shows and everything like that. We've done three car shows to date. And but my last event was a prayer rally. And we did the All Live, well, not All Live, we did the Lives Matter prayer rally. So that was our evangelistic side coming out, bringing us to the people. So we did that in October. But prior to that, like the last club event we did was we did an old school throwback. That was in April of 2015. That's the last time we did an actual club event.
And, Why has it been so long?
Why has it been so long? Man, you really get in my business, man. My mom listened to this stuff. I don't know if I want to share everything, man.
Hey, the people want to know, man. The people want to know.
Okay, so we got, I don't know how long we got to get into my business, so we'll keep it simple. Simple-ish, because people know when I talk, it ain't no short conversation. So, long be all, seriously, though, it's a time, I think when it comes to ministry, a lot of times we can lose focus of what's important. Not that ministry isn't important, but if your household's out of balance, then you shouldn't be doing ministry. And what it was God had to set me aside and let him work on me and my family. We had a lot of stuff going on. I need to bring the balance in the household. And it was really cool because just during that time, I was like not chilling, but I was like, I felt like I was in the woods for 40, that 40 days and 40 nights was a little bit longer. But it was like, I didn't feel like it was a season for me to do sanctuary for a while. And it was a challenging period. Faith-wise, well, when you feel like you're born to do this, and God's like, you know, just chill for a minute. You really get out, because I don't like being stagnant, but at the same time, it's very purposeful. So I feel like I've been in the fire, being refined, and just stronger and better than ever. So that's why it's been so long. And that's one of the reasons. The other reason was the place we were renting, they ended up having to sell the location. So for those who don't know, the sanctuary rents out different clubs in Atlanta, and that's how we host our events. And so if we don't have a club to rent, or if one hasn't been revealed to me, then we don't have a building. So, but now that's over, and I'm ready to get back out here and do my thing, man. I'm excited because I know what God's been doing with me. So I know the test I went through, so I know the results are gonna be that much better. So I can't wait to get back out in the streets and do the sanctuary for everything that we've been doing. It's just gonna be a whole different ball game, whole different level for us.
That's dope. So what inspires you to do the sanctuary?
A lot, man. I think at different times, I guess it's different things, but for me, when it came to the sanctuary, I really wanted to meet people who's been, I guess, turned off by the way Christ is represented. And I don't want to sound like I'm bashing church, but typically in church, a lot of times, you know, a lot of the common image of Christians are people, Bible thumpers, who don't care, but they point the finger at you and tell you you're going to hell and that kind of thing. And you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, a bunch of rules. And my relationship with Christ is not a bunch of rules. It's a bunch of love and relationship. And I honor the rules because I love Christ. It's not because the other way around. It's not because I'm trying to work my way into heaven, because I love God, so I don't do certain things. And I think a lot of that's lacking, and I think it's a lot of misunderstandings because of the way Christ has been represented. So people, when they equate church, they automatically equate that with Christ. Now, although they're separate things in a lot of avenues. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to sanctuary, I wanted real people, I guess pre-believers, to meet believers who love Christ and just not about the judgment, not about wearing church clothes, but just be who you are, right where you are. I want them to see how Christ can meet you right where you are, no matter what you did or what you're doing at the moment. When Christ meets you, you won't be the same. So when I do the sanctuary, I'm inspired by everyone that's been hurt by a church, everyone that's been turned off by Christ because they think that's what Christ is representing, how he's representing the churches. That's one inspiration. The other inspiration is my children. You know, and it's like a lot of times, you know, I don't see the money coming, you know, but that doesn't matter because I still got a lot of events under my belt. However, when you're looking at it from a business mindset, and you're looking at the crowds, you get caught up in that kind of stuff. When you put all your money into it and you don't see the crowds that you think you should get, it can be discouraging. And you forget about the original reason you do it, is to impact people. And then when I look at my kids and how gung-ho they are about the sanctuary, my kids are my biggest promoter. They tell their teachers, they tell their schoolmates about it. Everybody that knows my kids know about the sanctuary. And then when you go down the hallway, each one of the doors have the sanctuary logo on the door. That's something they did.
Oh, wow.
And then they all have sanctuary mixtapes. And a lot of times, you know, they used to do sanctuary, what they call sanctuary parties in the basement.
Right.
And they take my old flyers, and that'd be their ticket. They play in the sanctuary CD. So they had like a little mini sanctuary in the basement. So every time I see that impact, that I've seen in my own kids. It just makes me go hard. It makes me like, I can't quit. Look, my kids are watching. They're watching and they're being impacted. So why would I stop doing it? So my kids and people who just need to be loved on, man, it's a loving atmosphere when you come to Sanctuary. So that's my inspiration, is to love on people when they come through.
Wow, okay. Be loved on. That's dope. Do you do anything in addition to the Sanctuary?
That's an easier question. I can tell you what I don't do. Nah. Yeah, actually, this podcast is another thing. Crosstalk, I talk a lot. A lot of my stuff can be involved
with Barbie talking. He does talk a lot.
A lot of my stuff can be involved with Barbie talking. But yeah, I do Crosstalk podcast. I also do Swix Corner. Swix Corner was something that God gave me to do a while back. And it was one of those things where I just felt like God was calling me to do more. And I felt like I had so much to say, but I didn't even know what to say. Or what I had to say, or the platform. And God was like, I want you to get on YouTube and start just sharing what I share with you. And at the time, I was kind of nervous about it because I was going through like, well, God, what if my friends don't agree, all this nonsense? And it's like, you know, I don't, you know, it got to the point where I had to take all that, what if people, what if that, I don't care about that. I'm doing what God told me to do, so it don't matter what they say. If I say something they don't agree with, that's fine. So I took that off, and I did, excuse me, and it's called Swix Corner. And so I did like a bunch of those videos. I'm still doing when God gives me a topic. I've discussed everything from, you know, starting the vision to homosexuality to my own personal struggles with depression and all kinds of different things. And it's touching because I don't ever know who's really watching my videos. I know I get like 100 views on average. However, I have coworkers that told me they watched every single one of my videos and they keep on asking me for more videos. I'm like, wow, God, thank you for using me in that aspect. And in that same vein, I also MC events. I've been blessed to host the 47 spot a few times. I hosted the Sanctuary a couple of times, hosted at the C Room, which is really cool. So I do MCing. As in hosting, I do a podcast, I do Swix Corner, and outside of all of that kind of stuff, I do carpentry, plumbing, and painting on the side. So, well, jack of all trades, master of none, work on vehicles too.
I hear that. So, you brought up the podcast, you know, Crosstalk. So, tell the people, why are you doing this podcast?
Because I like to talk, man. That's why. What better way to self-talk than to do your own podcast? Oh, so God. I can play this back and back and back because I just love hearing. No, all honesty, it's a lot of things I've been learning. God's had me on like this real, real strict learning diet lately. And I've been praying for unsatiable hunger for words or for wisdom and knowledge. Mm-hmm. And everything, a lot of stuff I've been challenged on. I've been asking God to challenge me on my theology. And a lot of stuff I've been learning has been challenging me on my theology. I've been watching videos by majors and challenging my theology. I've been watching different videos by Miles Monroe. I've been learning about kingdom living versus just religion. And a lot of that's challenged me. But as I'm on Facebook a lot, and I'm seeing some of the stuff people post, and I'm discovering that a lot of people are ignorant to the stuff the scriptures say, or we're trained to look through the scriptures through a certain looking glass, and we're misinterpreting scriptures just based on what we've been told that they mean when we see these things.
Right.
And that really struck a chord. Like, okay, God, let me, what can I do to help with the situation? Let me help educate people. So my whole goal with the Crosstalk is just to really have real conversations with people about godly things, or Bible-based conversations, I guess, and I give them real scriptural truths. And some of the stuff that can challenge the theology. A lot of stuff I've been brought up believing, I discovered that it's not true, or it's not accurate, or it's a miscalculation, because, you know, you got to realize, or misinterpretation, rather. Because the Bible is translated from Hebrew, and certain words in Hebrew might have a double meaning, but right. In English, they just go with that one meaning. But so it's kind of, so, and I discovered, even in my little journey, that the Bible does not contradict itself, as I used to think that, and people, especially people who oppose the Bible, always talking about how it contradicts itself. Mm-hmm. What I learned that where it contradicts itself is typically an area that I don't understand what it's actually saying, and that's based on mistranslation or just lack of knowledge or lack of precepts.
Or I'm just going to implement it because you're touching my ear. Or lack of scrolls that are missing.
There you go. And so that's the whole motivation behind Crosstalk. And when God gave me an idea, I try to go with it because I firmly believe that if he can't trust you with one idea, why is he going to trust you with the next idea, the next idea, the next idea? And at the end of the day, like I told you before, I went through a lot of frustration during my trial, my hiatus from everything. And I'm like, I don't want to waste any of that pain. I know it's a preparation process mm-hmm. for me to move forward and get to the next level. So with all that being said, I'm not stopping at anything.
Right, right. So what do you want to see happen with the podcast, Crosstalk Radio?
Wow. Honestly, I don't have any expectations. I mean, I want to be able to bless people. I want dialogue to be started. I want people to really start, you know, diving in their Bibles deeper. I don't have a goal as far as ratings, as many people as I can reach. But if I reach one person, I'm not saying it because that's what people say. But if I reach one person,
right.
I'm good. But also the challenging part of it is for me, because when I'm giving these different topics, I got to say this stuff too. So I'm going to grow. So I'm expecting just to impact lives, just for broader platforms to open up for myself as well.
Okay. Okay. I forgot the how long have you been doing the sanctuary?
Man, April 2007 was our first event. Very
Okay.
first event. April 13,
Wow.
2007 was our very first event. So if you're looking at the
Almost
calendar
10
properly,
years,
almost
man.
10 years. That's
Wow.
a lot. I feel like I get some credibility with that, man.
Yeah,
Like, dang, 10 years. That's,
10
that
years.
sounds
That's a
wild.
that's a monument right there.
It is, man. So I'm really looking forward to doing something big with the 10-year anniversary. I can't drop any of that information yet, but
Yeah.
I'm working on a few things.
All right, so what exactly, well, kind of dumbass, what are you passionate about? I think you pretty much just told us that already. So I'm gonna ask you just the outlandish question, kind of not really pertaining to everything
Okay.
up here. If money wasn't an issue, what would you be doing?
That's a great question. I would be celebrating because I ain't got to work no more, for one. Feed up Universal Studios. Movie collection should be 100 more movies added. But no, that's part of it, though. But if money wasn't the issue on the ministry side of things, I would like to be traveling and setting up sanctuaries in different cities, like freestanding sanctuary clubs in different cities.
Okay.
Even if not even if that was if we're speaking on that level around the world, personally. But right now, yeah, my business does lead me to like to think like to around the country would be dope to have sanctuary clubs in different major cities across the globe, across the country. And I would like to do some mission work. That's actually on my bucket list, to go across seas and do some mission work. And mission work for me would be, I wouldn't want to say, I don't want to necessarily be in the preaching side of things, but I would like to be the ones helping build the houses and the wells or whatever the schools are. So I have a gift of building, and I want to use that gift. So I would love to be overseas. That's what I would do. My money, or if money was an issue, say I would be traveling, setting up sanctuaries, and I would be traveling, doing missionary work, and I would like to be speaking at different engagements around the country.
So I can safely say, is that what we can expect from you in the future?
Ah, if that's what God wants me to do, you could definitely say
Okay.
yes. I'm not gonna limit the sanctuary to one building, although we don't have, but that's for that faith. I don't have one building. I'm thinking about the 10th building already. But
Right.
yeah, definitely. I really feel that I will be on a mission trip eventually. I don't know when. I was just talking about that the other night. I'm pretty sure I'll be doing a mission trip eventually, because the heart's there, the willingness is there. I don't have any selfish ambitions. I don't see why God wouldn't allow me to do it.
All right, cool, man. I think we done gave the people enough information
Let me
on
let me
Step
let me
Swig,
no no we ain't got enough information, because he see he got these questions, these safe questions that he wrote down,
Real safe.
real safe questions that he wrote down for me. And I don't mind answering any questions, but I'm gonna answer this question because he's I'm sure he's done talked about me with his friends and his kids around. And I say this because, being that I'm the guy who does sanctuary, I have a lot of friends, and
Yes.
99% of my friends are artists. And I'm gonna say the criteria for getting on sanctuary is not being Stephen Swindles. Has nothing to do with it.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely nothing. Yusuf is probably like, why the heck hasn't he put me on the stage at the sanctuary yet?
Because I can rap.
Look, I'm questioning. He's questioning his talent right now. But no, your talent was never in question. It has nothing to do with you. To me, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with what I'm envisioning every time I do a sanctuary event. When I do a sanctuary event, I'm not just trying to put artists on a stage. It doesn't. It's like, well, I'm actually painting a picture. So you might be a dope artist. You might have, so, but that don't mean you fit on this particular lineup that I'm having to put together, or within a particular vision that I have for each and every episode, every event. Like you're an artist, so it's like, I know you got a lot of dope artist friends too, but you don't put them all on one. You don't always put them on one song. You might have one song, like, oh, I'm feeling like 13 Disciple need to be on this track, or another song, I need Rick Flow on this track. So it's the same thing with the sanctuary. I look at it, I approach it from an artistic point of view. So that's why you haven't been on yet. And plus, being that my last event was only like 2 years ago, I haven't had any events to put you on.
What he's not telling y'all is I'll be at the sanctuary in the kitchen cooking.
And that's another reason why
And I'll
we
be
can't.
behind the video camera recording the
Yeah. That's another reason. But I would actually book him as an artist, but then I have to find a cook. So,
See? So it's obvious he wants people to be blessed by my 20 years of cooking.
So, but yeah, that's the real reason. So, if we're friends and you haven't been on the sanctuary, more than likely it's because you just haven't got around to it, or you're just not fitting the mold that I have for each and every event. Each and every event is different. You might not be a good fit for this event, but you might be in a better fit for the June event, or the October event, or the November event. That's how it works. And all my friends I have, I will say, I do think y'all are great artists, and I don't have any issue with your talent or your anointing or anything like that. Now, all my associates, if I haven't booked you, There's a criteria. Just because you're Christian and you rap don't mean
You good.
you're good, hands down. And that's not a shot at anybody. It's just that when people, a lot of times people think because they're Christian, they're going to get on the show automatically, and it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in any marketplace, realistically speaking. So if it caused you to step back and step your game up, that's dope. That's great. But, this is a craft. People take time and years to hone their craft, and I can't just let anybody on stage if I'm not feeling them as an artist. So it doesn't mean I don't feel you as a person, but if you're just not ready, you're just not ready. And there's been a few artists that when I first heard their music, I didn't put them on, and then now they're at a different level, and now they've been on. So it just depends. I'm not gonna name the artist right now, maybe in another conversation. However, that's the reason. So it is a selective process when people submit their music. I'm not the only one who listens to it. I have three other people that listen to the music as well. So that way I'm not just trying to pick people particular that I'm particular to because of my musical taste. All right, that's it
All
for
right,
me.
it's cool, it's cool,
All right, so we got all in my business real quick. Find out all about my problems. I slipped up, talked about depression a little bit. Golly, man. Yusuf was complaining about cooking in the kitchen. He get paid to cook in the kitchen, though. But
rather minister though.
you are ministering. You're ministering food, man. You gotta feed the people. The Bible
to
says you gotta, if a man comes to you, he's hungry, you gotta feed him first. So you've been feeding him first.
So I feed him fleshly, and then the word, the
Yes.
music feeds him
Yeah.
spiritually. I get it,
That's
I get it.
it. That's it. If your wings come out half done again, Yusuf will be rapping at the next Saint
No.
Tropez. I'm just kidding. I'm
That'll
clowning.
never happen.
I'm clowning. I'm clowning. But anyway, so you find out all about Steph Swig. That's who I am. That's what I do. Let's find out about Yusuf. Let's see. Oh, I'm sorry, Yusuf. That's your name. But he goes by the name of Big Pudge, which is I think is weird, but it's kind of grown on me. So can you explain why I gotta call a grown man Big Pudge? Big Pudge.
Well, you don't have, look, that's what the streets know me as. That's where I'm pretty much at every day, all the time. And it's just kind of like what I'm used to. So, Yusuf is, my real name. I really get tired of people jacking up my real
I
name,
know the feeling.
especially with the powerful meaning behind it. And I just, it's Pudge is one of them names that's been with me since I was a little baby. And I say Pudge, I want people to know it's PUDGE. It's just like saying fudge, you take off an F and add a P. And if you can tell, I've been saying that for decades now because of how much people just murder my nickname and my real name. So I'm like, if you're gonna murder a name, murder the nickname, not the real name. Big
Okay.
Pudge is what most of the people out in the world know me as, but it doesn't matter. So if you hear Swig saying Pudge, Yusuf, same person.
Gotcha. All right, so you said there's a meaning behind your name. So what's the meaning behind your name?
Yusuf, Yusuf. It's originated from Kenya, Tanzania, and it means God has added to his powers. So I don't want to get confused with Yusef. That means prosperity. They're both good names, but I like to prefer to be called what my mother gave me,
I
which is,
hear
so
that. Okay, fudge with a P. I got you. Right. So you obviously are a rapper, so you say, and you say you're a good rapper.
Yes, I would like to think
I
so.
say that because I've been his friend for like 3 or 4 years, and I've heard him rap like three times.
That's only because he chooses to hear me
That's
rap three
only
or four
because his
times.
songs are on cassette. That's why. That's how long he's been rapping.
Wow. I actually do have a lot on cassette too while he's
Oh
laughing.
wow. All right, so how long you been rapping?
Man, I've been rapping since, I want to say, since about 1994.
Okay.
90, 1994 is when I first started rapping.
And was you saved when you started rapping? Is this or
No, well, how can I say this? Saved as in you grew up where your mother and father made you go to church. That version of saved, yeah, I didn't have a choice.
okay.
I didn't build a relationship with the father on my own until, I was 12 years old. So
Okay.
I want to say, technically, save. Did I have a relationship with him at that time? No, I didn't.
Okay. So when did you start changing your lyrics over, I guess, to Kingdom music?
1996 was the first time where I literally did not write the rhyme at all. Like literally, I just came home. I picked up a pen and started writing, And within like 30 minutes, I was done. First rhyme I ever completed that fast, but I don't remember ever writing anything. But when I looked down, I had a three-page rhyme. And it was the first rhyme. I do no cussing. I wasn't even talking about God or Jesus. I was just talking about life and how hard it was and then living. And I consider that God writing that rhyme down because I don't remember writing the rhyme. And then I wasn't talking about, you know, negative things and stuff like that. And it, and the rhyme was full of life and talking about life. It was one of those rhymes where it encouraged people to press on no matter how hard life gets. So 1996, I'll never forget, that was the first time he actually, you know, wrote a rhyme for me. And I've been writing for him ever since.
Well, was there anything that led up to that situation? Like, was it something that's triggered that moment for you? Or
yeah.
Or just one of those things you picked up a pen and you just started writing for
yeah,
that?
It was my father, and I can say this because he'll tell this story as part of his testimony. My father had to turn himself in. And this was after, you know, him and my mother going through a real hard time in their marriage where they had just gotten back together, had only been together maybe 4 or 5 years since their separation. Mm-hmm. And he had to turn himself in for something that he had done. And all the weight came back on me like it was, you know, when we first moved down here. And that was hard. Mm-hmm. I was only like 16, 17 years old. And here it is. I am, you know, I got my mom's, my two sisters and my brother, and it felt like all the weight is back on me. So it was like, you know, I'm going to culinary arts school, just graduated from high school, right into technical school. I'm working full time and I'm just trying to still be a young adult, you know, with grown up responsibilities. And it was just one of them hard time things where I just wanted to rap about just life and how hard it is, you know, and that's what stemmed from it.
Wow. Wow. Out of the pain comes like greatest testimonies. I tell you, man,
Mary J. Blige, one of the famous ones.
Yeah, you're right about that, man. Everybody said, well, she's hurting. Her music was awesome. Always got good, man. Always good. All right, so you've been rapping since 94, so it's safe to say you've been rapping for about 13, 14 years, right?
Yeah.
So what are some of the highlights of your career, man?
Man, when I met Curtis Blow.
Ah, we talked about that all.
When I met Curtis Blow, man, that literally, I met a brother when I was young, running around the streets, like I'm talking about 8, 9 years old, listening to his music, and he didn't rap about anything violent, anything negative. It was about love, peace, and soul, you know,
yeah,
and happiness. And to see a brother rap about good things, turn around and give his life to Christ, and then still go places and still do his own music.
Yeah.
You know, when I met him, he just inspired me like I have never been inspired before in my life, because it was to see a brother who can still come from like hard times where there's like pretty much like technology wasn't even heard of back then, and to still thrive 20, almost 30 years later.
Yeah,
and just
to
have a conversation with him to see how strong his mind is in God. You know, it I don't see how, you know, it's kind of like a childhood dream to meet somebody that you grew up listening to.
Yeah.
And then for them to encourage you to keep pressing on. You know what I'm saying? And the things that God wants you to do, because, you know, he let it be known that it's obstacles out there in the secular world. It's obstacles in the spiritual world too. Mm-hmm. So even though he's on the other side, he still go through more obstacles than he went through when he was in the secular world.
Wow.
Because now Satan is upset
that
he's done crossed all the way over. So that encouragement, man, just gave me like so much of a boost, like still to this day. When I think about the conversation,
I
get excited.
Man.
Yeah.
Every time we talk about it, you get excited. So what was one of the memorable things he talked to you about or what he said to you? I'm sure you remember everything that happened in the conversation.
It was him saying, him constantly talking about renewing your mind. He stayed on renewing your mind so hard. And he said, because when you're in the industry and you've changed, but the industry hasn't, or it's changed in another field, you have to renew your mind, sometimes hourly, not even daily.
Consistently.
You have to consistently renew your mind because the enemy is always coming at you. Obstacles is always coming at you. And he was just like, a lot of the stuff that he's been through, it took for him to have to be in a place where he's going somewhere to represent God. Somebody from back in his day comes at him, you know, in a wrong kind of way, to where he needs about 5 minutes to renew his mind so he can get back in that place to go do what God wants him to do.
That's
so
real. Wow.
Yeah. So he was like, you know, no matter what you go through in life, whether it's in the industry, whether it's home, whether it's with the kids, whether it's out in the world, just always constantly remember that, you know, you're a vessel, you're a representation of Christ, and just constantly, if you can renew your mind on a regular basis, you know what I'm saying, it'll be like, you'll be like rubber, like darts just bouncing off of you, none of it will affect you.
Yeah, that's a good place to be. I get there sometimes, but sometimes I'm not.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm still working, I'm still a work in progress.
Always, man, that's why you have to renew your mind consistently, man.
Yeah.
All right, so when I met you, I know I met you after the Soul Cafe, and so I know you were doing it, but I think when I met you, you had just stopped doing it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So can you explain to me and everybody else, what is Soul Cafe?
Soul Cafe ATL, man, is it's a cafe type setup where you come in almost like a lounge. They got candles on the tables, couches. You know, real nice, comfortable setup where we have, you know, we have people that's cooking food fresh to order. We got a live band, and we have several artists that have come up and share their gifts. And, you know, you don't have to be saved or represent Jesus to come up and show your gifts. Like, you can, if it's good music, if whatever it is good and good to the people, and it's, you know what I'm saying, it signifies something that's uplifting. You know, we would encourage people to come out and do stuff like that. So it was pretty much a setting where, you know, you have people that's much older, you know, now that don't want to be in places where they want live entertainment, they want live music, but they just want good music, you know, without a whole lot of profanity in it, or, you know, so talking about a whole bunch of sex and drugs and money and stuff like that. Yeah. So it was created for that genre. Ultimately, the whole thing was created to bring in for as many people who believed in Christ to bring in a lot of people who did not believe in Christ to get people to see that we love the Lord just like the church does, and this is how we get down.
That's similar to the sanctuary right there. That's how I look at that. Okay.
Exactly.
That's
dope. And it's funny because remember when me and you met.
Yeah.
We met through, you knew of me through Soul Cafe ATL. I knew your name through the Sanctuary.
Yeah.
And our concepts were so similar. So it's funny because we didn't meet each other until like 2-3 years, like later, after we had already been here.
2013, I think we met.
Yeah. And that was what? 2009 was my first Soul Cafe. 2008 was my first Soul Cafe.
Oh, wow.
ATL. Yeah. Your first one was 2007.
Yeah. So, dang, right in line. Wow,
right. So we literally been hearing about each other, you know, sitting up until then.
Yep. We knew the same people, rolled in the same circles at the same place at the same time, never met until like after the fact.
Right.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what happened to Soul Cafe? Why aren't you doing it now?
Man, I think it was one of those things where it was seasonal.
Okay.
I honestly believe it was seasonal. I do believe that a lot birthed from that because we haven't done one in like 2 years, and people still today ask about Soul Cafe, ATL. So I think it's seasonal to where God is, same thing with you, man. God had you in a place where he had to work on you.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he's working on me in a way where that's not going to be, it may not have the actual name Soul Cafe ATL, but it'll be something different. But I know it's not the end. No, I know right now it was seasonal to where it had to stop. And God will always let you know when you keep trying to do things where he's putting a deadline to it.
Yeah.
You'll always know when you're supposed to stop by the outcome of everything that was going on. And then, you know, I kind of, you know, realized I was new to the Christian or gospel rap thing. You know what I'm saying? Like when I started writing rhymes, I'm going to say for the Lord, I didn't go to churches and go to Christian events. I went back to the same clubs I used to be in, and I did my music there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so receptive to the world. Like I'm standing on the stage right after somebody just got finished talking about women and shake dancing and smacking behinds and all this other stuff. And I get up right behind that person screaming Jesus to the top of my lungs in my rhyme. And I'm getting received just like the person was that was talking about the derogatory music.
That's what I'm talking about.
So it was so heartwarming to me to see the world respond to Christ like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, in my mind, I'm amped, gung-ho amped, like how me and you are when it comes to pre-believers.
Yeah.
So when we started doing Soul Cafe ATL, I ran into a lot of fake rappers, Christian rappers, if you want to sell gospel rappers or whatever title you want to give them.
Yeah.
And it just blew my mind that it was that many brothers rapping about Christ, but their whole alternative was to be secular or just get into the secular realm.
Wow.
So it kind of messed with me because I didn't know that going in. You know, it kind of pushed me away from the Christian rappers to where I segregated myself from them and I went back to the world.
Yeah.
I didn't go back to the world, but I took my music back to them because I'm like sharing it with y'all is almost like coming to church. You know, you go to revise and, you know, be with your brother and all that, which I had no issue with. It was when you deal with business and church, you see people's real hearts and their real eyes. So when you're asking the artist to come through and you're telling them there's no cover fee and we're doing this for the streets, and then you see the areas in the middle of the hood, so you know this is strictly for these people. When you're talking about you want $2,000 and I'm telling you I'm not even charging these people to come in, you know, I'm looking at you like you done lost your mind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, so is this really for ministry or is it really for your pockets? Because I can understand charging people. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I don't want people to think that I mean Christian artists ain't supposed to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a discernment thing or it's a you seeking God about this event. Okay, this event, based on where it's at, based on, you know, watching it in the past and seeing how many people show up, and there is no cover fee. The only way they get money is charging people to eat. You know, I would think that that would be one of those things where you would just, you know, saying offer your gifts because that is exactly what Christ would have did. He would have offered his gift to a room full of lost people.
Yeah.
You know, and your music is the kind of music that reaches these lost people. Mm-hmm. But you want to get paid for that when the venue itself is not even getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those, it just put a bad taste in my mouth, man. And
that's understandable.
Yeah, so that's what that was.
Wow. Okay. Wow, man, that's kind of deep and heavy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I don't even want to ask you what you're passionate about because I think everybody in the studio here and out in podcast land know what you're passionate about. But
I call them pre-believers.
Yeah, pre-believers. That's what I'm talking about. We call them. Yeah, Brother Work said that, and I've been biting off that ever since he told me.
Yeah, pre-believers.
I like that. All right, so if money wasn't an issue, what would you be doing? That seems to be everybody's hindrance.
Man.
Like, if we just had the funds, we just had the provision, we could, you know, I would do this, I would do that.
If money wasn't an issue, what I would be doing right here, right now, literally, is traveling the world, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. And I know I may sound like some old church mother or something like that by saying something like that, but when you have a relationship with God and he's already told you and showed you what it is that your life and your legacy is going to be, that's exactly what I'm called to do. Like, I've seen visions of me in red sand countries and like healing people, you know, with diseases that they don't have a cure for. Mm-hmm. You know, literally raising people from the dead just to show these people that God is real. And if I didn't have any money, that's exactly what I would be doing.
I got you. Wow. I didn't even know.
No, I said if I ain't have any money.
Yeah.
Correction. It's almost feel like that. If money wasn't an issue.
Yeah. Well, I took it like if you didn't have any money, God would provide it. But either way, it goes.
Right.
I know what you meant. They know what you meant.
Right.
Oh, man. If you've already been called to do that, man, you know, got to make a way for that. I mean, that's the way it is because we don't really rely on our resources.
Right.
God is our source, and the job we have is the resource. But, you know, God owns it also.
Right.
When it's time, it's time. When it's time for me to do more sanctuaries, then they'll come. When it's time for me to travel the world and build other sanctuaries or help build villages, they'll come. I'm not really worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just had me think about something I've been learning in each kingdom class about not depending on my own resources, but depending on God's resources, the resources that you don't even see that he has.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
So anyway, I got one. You done shared everything, man. You done shared everything I had on my list here, so this is what I'm going to get you on. Quick, random, little-known fact about Big Pudge.
Quick, random, little-known fact about Big Pudge. Big Pudge will speak his mind. He will...
Stop. We said little-known, random fact. I don't know anybody that could even say, oh, I didn't know that about Pudge. We got rewind. I don't know if you heard me, but I said quick, random, little known fact, which means people don't know about it.
Oh,
we I know mean, you speak your mind.
Okay, I'm an extremely loving person. Believe it or not, those who truly, truly know me, they consider me just a big teddy bear. But those who don't, well, between my appearance, my demeanor, people think differently. But quick little known fact, I'm a big teddy bear. I love a lot of people, and I've even learned to, as a recent, love my enemies. Believe it or not, that took almost 30-something years to get to, but I actually have learned to get myself to a place where I can love somebody that I once couldn't stand.
Amen. Ain't that the idea of being God-like, Christ-like, Christ to love you? I mean, I think that's one of the hardest things we have to do.
Mm-hmm. It is. It ain't easy. It ain't easy at all.
Well, Pudge, man, our time is coming to a close.
Okay.
Man, we done got all in your business, got all in my business, man. I don't want to leave them something for next week. So, man, just thank y'all for tuning in to Crosstalk Radio, Crosstalk Podcast, whatever you want to call it. Just tune in. Yeah, Pudge, man, what you
got
to say?
We got a lot of stuff coming up, man. We have a lot of interesting topics to talk about. You know, one of the main things that this podcast is for is talking about what we call elephants in the room. You know, things that the church, you know, are kind of scared to touch and don't want to talk about, things that the world will talk about that the church needs to address. You know, these are things, and just in everyday life, you know, everyday life, you know, this is, we're going to have some real, real juicy topics.
Real conversations, like conversations that me and him have conversations all the time, but now you're going to like hear our conversations as you're listening. But yeah, we have these deep conversations all the time, but it's always refreshing to be able to talk to a brother in Christ about anything that you can't talk about in church. Because sometimes not just that it's in churches, sometimes you just don't, it's not the place to talk about it in front of everybody. Right. But
let's give them some, give them a, oh my God, a few topics.
You give them a few topics. Okay. No,
we're going to say, okay.
Okay, fine. We're going to talk about aliens. We're going to talk about dinosaurs. We're going to talk about ghosts. We're going to talk about Trump. We're going to talk about abortion, homosexual marriage, all kinds of different things. Christmas, the history of Christmas, the history of Easter. Is it wrong for Christians to celebrate certain holidays? If so, why? If not, why not? All kinds of things. Plus, you can throw some more topics out there.
You know, the ones I came up with, they'd be the ones where people be like, oh, Lord, it sounds like something he would come up with. You know, come up with, well, actually, this one came from Step, you know.
What we got?
You know, an unmarried pastor that is known to be with other women or men or pregnant with no spouse. That is a pastor, you know. That's a real, you know, if you ask me, juicy topic. Mm-hmm. Another one, why is it that a man is always celebrated when he's been known to have a large sexual count with women, but a woman is looked down upon if her number is the same? You know, things like this, like I said, everyday life, things that people don't want to talk about, people that things, you know, things that people don't want to touch and, you know, are scared to talk about, we're going to cover them all.
Is hell real? Where is it? Is heaven real? Where is it? Those are other topics as well. Oh, and can the Christian smoke weed? I mean, all kinds of crazy questions, all kinds of interesting things. If you want us to talk about anything specific, hit us up on our email. We'll get that to you in a few. And hope to talk to you. Hope to hear from you soon. Peace.
Peace.